On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the third Sunday that we're on the gospel train, sort of a polar expedition to the otherwise unvisited north end of the altar. Why the north? Remember, well, Isaiah tells us that Lucifer has set up his throne in the north. And Jeremiah expatiates, evil breaks forth from the north, and it is only the word of God that can stem that poison which flows forth from his throne of lies. How many lies there are today in the modern church, in our government, and just in daily life? We need to be heading north. Nothing is ever said or done on the gospel side except, well, for the gospel, reading out the words of life, extracts from these precious documents which tell us what happened when God came to earth. What do we take with us on this expedition? Well, we've been at it a while, I grant you, but you know, everything's in the packing. Father Chicada's a great packer. He has lists on top of lists, and he makes lists for next year, and they're all neatly typed out, and I watch him in admiration. I'm one of those people who throws things in a suitcase at the last minute, and I hope that everything will make its way there and come out in fairly good order. But last week we saw we had to pack a gun, the gospel gun. You're really going to need that. Today, I'm thinking, to figure things out, we'll need a telescope. Some days, the gospel, we call it the gospel movement, is very solemn high mass or pontifical. And for the expedition, you need an extra pair of burning candles. And of course, that means two servers to carry them. Already St. Jerome, 4th century, says that although the sun is shining in the heavens, we light candles, not to dissipate darkness, but to demonstrate joy. And then there's a server who will eventually show up with the thurible packed with hot coals and some incense in a little vessel called a boat. The incense was first used at Mass to be carried before the bishop, and then later on to be carried before the deacon because he carried the gospel book. That was Roman court etiquette. It was carried before the emperor. And ever since then, it's been used throughout many solemn Masses. Did you ever watch the smoke at the gospel? Some days, depending on climatic conditions, the smoke forms a cloud in the sanctuary at Mass or at benediction or Vespers, and then it slowly spreads out like the word of God to remind us of the devotion with which we should hear it. The fouler the atmosphere is, the stronger the stench of sin, the stronger is our obligation, we Christians, to be the good odor of Christ, St. Paul says, what the writers refer to as the odor of sanctity. Every now and again, the little flower will make herself known, and someone gets to smell roses for a moment. Now, if it's a very solemn Mass, you've got not only the celebrant, but a deacon and a subdeacon, and maybe some more. And the deacon's job is to sing the gospel, and he sings it from the gospel book. This gospel book comes from Rome, the cover does. And some priest bought it, and then he couldn't use it, and then we bought it, and we've had it ever since, and it's very appropriate and fitting. It's actually in the style of the Greek or Byzantine, the Eastern Rite. Gospel books are icons with the holy pictures on it, and then jewels and gold, because you can't honor too much the word of God. And the deacon, as I say, he carries this, and then he gives it to the subdeacon at that kind of a solemn mass, and he serves as a kind of a living lectern. He holds the book open. But beforehand, the priest blesses him and sends him off on his way in the procession. And then the priest goes to the north end of the altar anyway, and he reads it first silently, just to be on the safe side. And then he goes to the back to the epistle side, and he turns around and he listens to what the deacon is singing, the word of God. Now, some of that above ceremony you've just seen today, you see at the Sunday High Mass or on feast days. Remember the telescope we are packing? Well, that's our vocabulary word today, not the noun, but the verb, to telescope. It means to slide the parts of a telescope into itself so that it becomes smaller, to condense, to consolidate, which is what you want to do too, come to think of it, when you're packing, to make something shorter in length. Our blessed Savior does that in the last gospel I've just now read to you. The Pharisees taught that the law of God contained 613 precepts, which they got from adding up the Hebrew words for Torah and a couple of other things thrown in. Some of these precepts were light and some were serious. Jesus, the light of the world, reduces them to two great commandments, the love of God and the love of neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law, says St. Paul, in an admirable telescope. You have everything right there. Today we have the seven sorrows, but those seven sorrows can be telescoped into just one, the crucifixion of our Lord. And what is the crucifixion of our Lord? It is the Mass. Who is therefore present at the altar at every Mass? Our Blessed Lady of Sorrows. A telescope, but it's all there. Now, at an ordinary low Mass, the ceremony, as we have seen, is reduced to its essentials. It's telescoped. So the server's moving the book, and that something we can never meditate on sufficiently, the figure it is of the passing of grace. Saint Bonaventure tells the Jews, because you have refused the word of God, we will carry it to the Gentiles. And Jeremiah says that Almighty God in the Old Testament went so far as to divorce Israel. It is meant to be a salutary warning to us. When the soul resists grace, sooner or later, it is taken away and given to another. Don't take it for granted. Then there's that prayer, remember, that's always said, the burning coal prayer, referring to Isaiah. It's always said before the gospel, even on Good Friday, our lips are responsible for so much. However, will they be able to take the word of life, the word of God, to others without being burned with their burning sanctity? Pack some salve for the journey. As I was preparing the sermon yesterday, it dawned on me the word salve, it's spelled S-A-L-V-E. In Latin, that's salve. It's Mexican too, Spanish too. Hail, as in Hail, Holy Queen, the Blessed Mother, for the proclamation of the gospel, Mary. That's never telescoped. So off we go to the north, And once the celebrants of the North End, we all stand up. Why is that? I'm thinking there are actually seven reasons. Bear with me. It's to show reverence and respect. When an elder or someone whom you wish to honor enters a room, what do? If you're well brought up, you stand up. It is also meant to show the readiness of soldiers. In the Middle Ages, the soldier would draw his sword and hold it up when the gospel was sung, so much as if to say, I'm ready, Lord, to fight or die for your cause. We're also servants who are standing, waiting to receive our orders, and then off we go. Thirdly, it symbolizes rising from sleep, from the sloth of sin, moving from the natural to the supernatural in our life. As the prodigal said, I will arise and go to my Father. It's an obedience to Christ, who, when he heals us, says, arise and walk. It honors the resurrection. Christ rises from the dead. That's a sign of immense joy, then, and of glory to be on our feet. We're standing for the creed. The gospel gives us the truth that we believe, so we stand for the gospel as well. Finally, it shows that the word of God, the gospel, is our support. So when it's read or sung, we stand up straight. In the Middle Ages, you know, and before, there weren't any pews or chairs in churches as a rule. And people would come to church with a walking stick or a staff, and they would lean their weight on it during the long ceremonies. But when the time came for the gospel, they put them down on the floor by means of showing respect and to say, the gospel is my strength. At a pontifical, the bishop has his staff, his crozier, and he holds it with both hands, and he sort of leans on it. He doesn't set it down because the good shepherd gave it to him, and that's his strength. Again, the Holy Gospel. When everybody's standing and ready, the priest says, Dominus vobiscum. Remember that little prayer, may our Lord be with you, and how it's also a way of the priest asking now, are you with me? Are you paying attention? This is something important in the Mass. And then he sings or reads, Sequentia, the continuation of the Holy Gospel. Why does he say that? Because in the first centuries, the Gospel was read continuously, Mass after Mass, and when they stopped, they marked the place, and then they just continued the next time they had the Holy Sacrifice. As he says the word Sequentia, the priest or the deacon makes a little sign of the cross with his right thumb, right because that's the side of honor, of course, at the beginning words of the gospel, usually over the holy name of Jesus. And here's the telescope again. He's making a little cross to say that here is where you have all of the teaching and the work of our salvation. It's contained, it's expressed. It gives us the mystery of the cross. The gospel, this sign of life and of every belief and of virtue it contains. Then, while he's got his thumb ready, he goes on to make three more little signs of the cross, and you make them with him. Forehead, lips, and heart. What does that mean? Well, there are various explanations for that. By the way, did you know that the little sign of the cross with the thumb on the forehead is the original sign of the cross until about the 8th century when the big cross called the Latin cross came into use. When we make the sign of the cross on the book, the clergy, that shows that this is no ordinary book, not even a holy book or the words of an apostle or a saint. These are the very words of God made man. Good to remember. Second, when the sign of the cross goes on the forehead, it's a prayer against distractions, against vain or sinful thoughts, at least not for a moment, not for the gospel. And then on the lips, with the cross, I consecrate my lips to proclaim the good news, and you do too. And then over the heart, to keep Christ's words in my heart in imitation of our Blessed Lady, for my loving meditation like her. She kept these words in her heart. That's her greatest praise her son can think of. In making these signs of the cross, we follow Mary's footsteps, she who heard the word of God and kept it. Again, there's another meaning. Sign of the cross on the forehead, God's truth be in my understanding. On my mouth, God's truth be in my speech. Over my heart, may I live it, I mean sincerely, and in a practical shoe leather kind of way, lest these lips of mine be shown to be lying lips. So I need that salve again. I need the Salve Regina. I need Our Lady's help. At the beginning of the gospel, the server says, Gloria tibi Domine. Glory be to thee, O Lord. And we try to dedicate the whole of this gospel that's now coming to God's glory, because the gospel is read not only to instruct or edify us, it is chiefly read, as everything is done at Mass, to glorify God, to worship him. They used to, at the end of the gospel, cry out like a bunch of Pentecostals or something. They would cry out all sorts of little prayers when the gospel was over. Some would say Deo Gratias, some would say Amen, and some, like the children of the Hebrews on Palm Sunday, would cry out, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But now things are considerably more demure, and everything is duly regulated, and the priest, remember, kisses the book for love and for sweetness. And you've got to thank God at that point that you've got the gospel, and that you're on the gospel train. Who believes it anymore? The Novus Ordo doesn't believe it. Those are just stories that someone made up. Everything subject to man's interpretation didn't really happen. The Protestants, they used to be very good about at least saying they believed in the gospel, although they got the interpretation wrong. But they've mostly gone modernist too. They don't believe it either. But you're privileged still to have the faith. This is our moment to say thank you at every Mass. But remember, nobody gets a free ride. So when we pray, Laus tibi Christe, praise be to thee, O Christ, let's mean it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.